Today is Friday, April 26, 2024. This is Quick Start from CBN News. I'm Dan Andros. Progressive cities are doing a U-turn on crime. We'll have that top story and more on today's podcast, where we bring you news from a Christian perspective. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating on your favorite podcast platform of choice. We'd appreciate that. You can email us as well at quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. And joining me now to get through the news of the cray on this Friday edition of the Quick Start Podcast, CBN's Billy Halliwell and Tregon's Phillips. And we got a lot to get to today, guys. What are we looking at on the focus story?
So for the focus, we're looking at a pro-life Democrat that you've probably never heard of who's running for president and aired an ad that now millions of Americans have seen. And it's graphic, but an important topic. So
and graphic, surprising, has a lot of elements to it. So we'll look forward. Yeah, looking forward to the details there. On the main thing, we've got CBN's Dale Hurd and Gary Lane. They are looking at what's going on in these progressive cities now that are doing a big U-turn on crime. You remember a couple of years ago with defund the police and let's take all the police out of there. Well, how's that working out? Not so well. And now some changes are being made. So we'll have more of that on the main thing. And don't forget to subscribe to all of our CBN News podcasts. A new episode of DC Debrief with John Stolness drops today. That's rounding up the happenings in DC throughout the week. It's a weekly podcast. And then Billy's Newsmakers, full-length interview each and every weekday. Don't miss that. Follow with the links that are in the description of this podcast. All right, let's head on over now to the news in 90 seconds. Former President Trump faced his seventh day of his New York criminal trial yesterday as witness testimony continued. The judge may also issue a ruling on Trump's alleged gag order violations. Supreme Court also heard arguments in Trump's presidential immunity case yesterday in Washington, D.C. That now is adjourned and will be brought up again on May 9th. You can listen to those oral arguments on the immunity case on CBN News' YouTube channel. Trump also made a surprise visit to supporters at a construction site in Manhattan early yesterday, and he complained that during these trials they've taken him away. He's called them witch hunts, and he said it's limited his ability to campaign. As the U.S. Supreme Court waded through arguments Wednesday of this week to determine whether federal law requires pro-life states to conduct abortions on women in emergencies, pro-life advocates are calling out the Biden administration for, quote, inventing a federal mandate by manipulating a decades-old health care law. Biden ignited further controversy by making the sign of the cross at a pro-abortion event. And a former porn star who converted to Christianity, Brittany De La Mora, is on this week's episode of Faith vs. Culture to discuss the porn epidemic and Kanye's apparent fall from faith. Those are just some of today's top headlines. Check out more stories over at cbnnews.com. Guys, we know we covered the Kanye thing yesterday on the podcast. Trey and I talked to Brittany De La Mora for the upcoming episode of Faith vs. Culture. Good conversation there on this whole issue. So I want you to look forward and check that out as well. But I know we all saw it, Trey, Billy, but Biden doing the sign of the cross at an abortion event, that sparked some controversy and some conversation. That was quite something. People were not happy with this.
Well, I mean, when you've made abortion a mainstay of your presidency, when previously, I mean, Biden was nowhere near where he is on abortion now years ago. In fact, he was seen by some as being, you know, not pro-life, but more on the pro-life side of the Democratic Party than where he is now. I mean, this is disturbing on a number of levels, but I think it goes to show you how flippant this is, how ingrained it is for him. He doesn't see a conflict between the personal faith he claims to cling to, Catholicism, and we know that they are very pro-life, the Catholic Church, and the policies that he's willing to enact. And I think we saw that with that flippant joke and gesture.
Yeah, that gesture to me is so weird. I don't really, like, what was it that was motivating it? Where did it come from? I also, though, think you can't really discount the fact that, like, if you're more progressive or more conservative, doesn't really matter. I think we can all recognize that Joe Biden is not that mentally fit when it comes to how he handles himself publicly. So I think the fact that he would make it, I guess, a joke, I don't know what he was doing, but either way, I completely agree with what you were saying, Billy. It just, I think we've gotten to the point now where, regardless of who's doing it, the fact that you're comfortable doing something like that at an event like this, or that you would even host an event like this as somebody running for president, that this is now a campaign stop for a presidential candidate, I think just shows how far we've fallen down the rabbit hole and how devolved and degraded our culture has become, that a presidential candidate feels like this is a stop they need to make.
Sure. Yeah, I completely agree with that assessment. And also on the mental fitness front, there was a clip this week that surfaced where Biden was at a rally, and he said 4 more years. He must have been looking at the prompter, because he said, "And 4 more years, pause." And he was just staring blankly at the monitor. And it's just remarkable, because you almost feel sad that this is what's happening to the president of the United States. That we all saw Joe Biden as vice president, and he was not like this. He was just not
almost
like this. He always has been known for gaffes, right? He's kind of had a highlight reel of gaffes. So that's kind of been his thing. But this whole staring off into space and saying pause, and it's not
being able to form sentences.
Yeah, it's on a whole new level. And so rightly, I think a lot of people, a lot of Democrats are concerned about it as well. So, we'll certainly be praying on the life issue. That's an issue we've been following, and it is definitely going to be a massive issue in this general election, because Democrats have felt that this is something that helped them win midterms. So they are going to continue to push on this front. So, all right, but let's head over to the focus story now. And it's on that issue of abortion. And we talked about it at the top here, Trey, but who is this pro-life Democrat running for president, and what was in her ad?
Okay, so her name is Teresa Bukovinac. She's actually somebody that CBN, we had her on Faith Nation. This was years ago in 2019 when she first launched the Progressive Anti-Abortion Uprising. And she was at the time also the president of Democrats for Life. So she's been at the forefront of trying to move the left back in the pro-life direction now for years, but she hasn't run for president in the past. So now she's running for president. And she aired an ad that many are calling graphic. They're saying it's disturbing, which is kind of ironic because, you know, she's doing is pointing to the reality of what's happening. But the ad aired on during the NBC Today show on Wednesday, where she really just showcased the horrors of abortion. She actually says in the ad, it's a 30-second spot, she describes herself as a secular progressive activist who, quote, recovered the remains of these 5 babies. And then you see over the course of that 30 seconds, different clips and images of late-term aborted infants that she is claiming to have recovered from an abortion clinic in Washington, D.C. So it's definitely disturbing footage. You can go over to faithwire.com, CBN News, and you can see the ad if you want to. But she says, as these clips are flashing on the screen, she says, "These are the faces of a genocide supported by Joe Biden and my own Democratic Party." At that point, then a picture of the president and Vice President Kamala Harris appear on the screen. She said, "I think that we can provide for the working class and resist this kind of extremism." She then challenges voters on the left to, quote, "never vote for a pro-choice Democrat again." So pretty strong words coming from within the left's own party.
Yeah, it really is. Why is she running for president in the first place?
So she's not somebody who's like kind of just wearing rose-colored glasses and thinks that she's going to rise to the level of being able to get enough name recognition to win the Democratic presidential nomination. She's said outright she knows that she is not going to get the Democratic nomination. She really just wants to be part of the conversation, and she figures running for president is a good way to get airtime, both for interviews, but also to raise enough money to run ads presidential ads on mainstream networks like NBC in primetime spots, like during the morning Today show, so she can talk about this issue and try to move the needle on Democrats who are maybe a little bit uncomfortable with the left's like far leftist view of abortion. She's wanting to move it back, obviously, to the at least to the middle, if not further, because she's pro-life. So she wants to get rid of abortion altogether. I think an interesting part, though, about her story, Dan, is she says she's secular. And in our interview in 2019, when we last spoke with her here at CBN, she actually said that she's an avowed atheist, that she has no belief in God whatsoever, but she, which is obviously sad. But she said to our Jenna Browder at the time that there is common ground. Like she said, I think that this is a moral issue, which ironically, if you don't believe in a God, where are you getting this moral compass from? But that's a whole different, that's a whole different discussion. But it is encouraging to see that there are people of all different walks of life who can look and say, it's wrong to kill an unborn baby.
Yeah. I mean, it should be an objective truth. And I wanted to ask you guys, get your reaction, because the outrage against her is on the graphic images, the use of graphic images of abortion. It's always been interesting to me, the complaints on that, when you get that from pro-abortion folks who say, hey, stop showing that. That's horrific imagery there. And it's like, well, you can't have it both ways, is my reaction to that. You can't say, we want to do this thing and champion it, and then we show you that thing, and we say, well, this is what you're championing. They say, you can't show that. I don't really know any other issue where people say that, you know, or use that as a valid argument. It doesn't seem like you can have your cake and eat it too when you're trying to argue for abortion.
Well, I think that actually the other issue where they do that now is on gender, on the transgender issue, right? To a different degree. You know, we don't want to hear the stories. We don't want to see it. We don't want to know what actually goes on. Right. Yeah. Because that points you into even the process of what's being done physically to people to get them to the place where they, you know, but anyway, yeah, it is interesting to me because it's a denial of reality. When you confront somebody with the reality, I'm not one who wants to see those things because I understand what it is, and it's heartbreaking and it's horrific, and it's you're watching the taking of human life. But my thing is, if you're going to advocate for this, then you should be able to look at it. If it's no big deal, if it's just a clump of cells, it should be very easy to look at without any problem because it's just a clump of cells. What is it that makes it so gruesome for you? Well, it's the taking of life, and the veil of evil is sort of being lifted when you're forced to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I think that's what is most sadly ironic about this whole conversation is, but I think it reveals, it reveals the truth, which is that innately all of us as human beings know right from wrong. People want to say that we don't. People want to say that we can't tell evil from good. But the truth of the matter is we can. We know evil from good. And when I think abortion is one of the easiest ways to reveal that, right? When somebody sees one of these kinds of commercials or they see footage of a late term abortion and they can see the remains of that infant's body, we're all shaken and disturbed by it. And why are we all shaken and disturbed by it? It's because that's a human life that was destroyed innocently. I mean, that life is completely innocent, and we chose to eliminate that life. So it disturbs all of us because it's morally wrong. And I think people don't want to be confronted with that reality. And when they are, they're uncomfortable.
Right. And I think this is why, in my opinion, pro-abortion people tend to have to use all kinds of different language in order to justify this. They have to lean into, I'm pro-choice. They have to lean into fetus. They have to lean into clump of cells, like you were saying, Billy. They have to lean into all these things because they know the alternatives and the truth are much more gruesome and much more great against our souls as humans, as you were saying, Trey, that we understand that we're made in the image of God, the Imago Dei. And so we tend to have a bad reaction to that. And so they have to come up with all these other ways to describe it. So again, as I said in the last story, I mean, this is certainly going to keep popping up. And this is interesting to see someone on the left even do that as well and make the case and try to get their party to stop being so extreme on the issue. So appreciate you bringing that one to our attention on the podcast today. All right. We are going to head over to the main thing now, and What about all the crime that has been happening at progressive-run cities in the past few years since many of these cities advocated to defund the police? Well, CBN's Gary Lane caught up with Dale Hurd, who's been looking into this story on these failed policies from some big city progressives and questions whether only changing laws will be enough to end the chaos that's now ensuing. That's today's main thing.
Lax policies on crime, homelessness, and drugs have transformed some of America's most desirable cities, causing many residents to flee. Urban plight is so severe that many people claim the cities have become unlivable and resemble third world countries. However, there's good news. More and more cities that once embraced these lax policies are now backtracking and adopting tougher laws. Dale Hurd has the story.
When former Portland State philosophy professor Peter Boghossian decided to leave the city he loved, Portland, Oregon, he didn't mince words.
Portland is like an open sewer. It's a cesspool. Murder over here, porch pirate over here, car stolen here, dog mutilated over here. The murder rate is up 300%. The homelessness is terrible, addiction.
That description fits a number of American cities where residents have moved on due to crime, drugs, tent cities, and trash. Cities like Seattle.
I witnessed one individual pull out a knife and start threatening a group of others. Saw the aftermath of one shooting.
Los Angeles.
And I kid you not, you guys, there were at least 5 to 7 crimes happening every single day. And these crimes weren't like 5 miles away, 10 miles away. They were all within a mile of where we were living.
In San Francisco.
We saw needles on the floor and urine everywhere. It smells horrible. Everywhere. It's not just like one bad street, right? Or like one bad area.
It's everywhere. It's even on the main street.
Not one cop in sight. Like at all. Did you see any cops?
No.
I didn't see any cops.
As more and more people and businesses flee the crime and chaos in some urban areas, city leaders have realized they have to do something. In New York City, the National Guard has been called in to help fight the rampant crime on the city's subways. D.C. just passed a sweeping crime bill that increases penalties for theft and gun crime. San Francisco voters have approved 2 ballot measures that expand police surveillance and require drug tests for welfare recipients. Former prosecutor Cully Stimson asked why it took them so long.
What happened to the last 3 years? Where have those policies been? They could have done this from the beginning. We're supposed to forget about the tens of thousands of people who have died at the hands of violent criminals, the tens of thousands of businesses that have been robbed, the stores that have closed. We're not going to forget because they happened because of these liberal policies.
Even the state of Oregon is throwing in the towel on its disastrous drug legalization. When we visited Portland last year, drug counselor Kevin Dahlgren showed us how city and state policies were attracting the drug-addicted homeless from across the country.
The homeless have told me, you know, it's very easy to be homeless because we're completely taken care of. We are fed, we are clothed, medical services come right to our tent. People give us anything they want.
Oregon has finally decided that becoming the first state to decriminalize hard drugs was not such a good idea and is recriminalizing possession of drugs like heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl. And while some leaders may have seen the light on how to save their cities, Stimson says all the policy changes in the world won't help if district attorneys don't get tough on crime.
Because the gatekeeper to the criminal justice system are the 2,300 elected DAs around this country. It doesn't matter what the city council passes or the mayor wags his finger about or the governor bloviates about. If the DA isn't going to carry through with the effective enforcement of the law, chaos ensues. And that's what's been happening in these cities.
Dale Hurd joins us with more insights. Dale, how did it get to this point? Crime-ridden cities where people fear for their lives and property. Was it an overreaction to the George Floyd protests?
Yeah, that and part left-wing popularity contest, part ultra-utopianism. I mean, think about it. They threw the Ten Commandments in the trash, basically, and law. I mean, who brought us law? God. And so they don't like law. They don't like law enforcement. They want to believe that people are good. And if you would just take the heavy hand of law off of them, we would have some kind of harmonious society. It's basically turning God's universe that he designed upside down. And shocker, it doesn't work.
Well, you reported that homelessness has a lot to do with the higher crime and drug abuse rates. In California, they have about 180,000 homeless on the streets, and that's nearly one-third the homeless population of the U.S. So if you first solve homelessness, wouldn't that begin to solve the crime and drug problems? Where do these cities start?
Yeah, they could try trying to fix it the right way. Portland built really nice houses for the homeless, and what did they do? Most of them trashed the houses and then moved out because they want to be homeless. Then you have Multnomah County in Portland buying tents for the homeless and even putting up empty tents to show them that it's okay to live in a tent here. Okay, this is a multi-layered malfunction by city officials and state officials. I mean, you also have the whole with Portland. It became a magnet for drug abusers before they changed their state law. People were migrating to Oregon so they could do their drugs in an easier way. So yeah, it would be great if we had the right solutions to these, which I think you would agree begin with taking care of some of the mental health problems. I walked through Portland and saw a crazy person just about every block, sometimes half-dressed, shouting, raising their hands. They obviously had a broken brain or they were on drugs. And these people need mental health care, and they're not getting it.
Well, it seems like they're enabling drug abuse and mental illness. We don't have mental institutions anymore. They've shut them all down. So although some city councils, maybe even prosecutors, are backing off a bit on their lax approach, they haven't really changed their views, have they? They want to get elected. So why won't they admit these are failed policies?
You remind me of the communists behind the Iron Curtain during the Cold War. You know, they could have, they saw their societies were failing. They saw their systems didn't work. They could have changed, and yet they couldn't change because they weren't going to become a capitalist. They were communist. And what are these people going to do? Say Donald Trump was right? I mean, that's what's in the back of their mind. They're trapped by their ideologies. And so they're kind of doing the go slow approach back toward the kind of policing that we've always done that's needed to keep people safe.
Okay, Dale Hurd, another excellent enterprising report people are unlikely to see anywhere else. Thank you for sharing those additional insights. We appreciate it.
Sure.
All right, Dale, Gary, thanks for that look. That's something that it seems like a lot of people aren't focused on. I mean, we've seen some of this extreme crime, but these policies, it was kind of shocking when you look back on it, when everybody was calling in these major cities for defunding the police. And then now we look at how that worked out when these police forces weren't supported. People either quit or they downsized the forces. And now they're dealing with the ramifications of that. So appreciate Dale and Gary taking a look into that. All right, on this Friday episode of the Quick Start Podcast, we are going to take a look at one last thing, Titus 3, 4 through 6. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So just a good reminder, guys, it's no works. No works are going to save you. It's just completely his own mercy and grace that saves us. Nothing we can physically do to earn that salvation.
Yeah, you can't save yourself, right? You can't. You got to find it outside of yourself in him.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that the work of salvation is a free gift, but it's completely done by the love and grace of God.
Amen. All right. That is where we are going to leave it for our Quick Start Pod this week. As always, get on over to cbnnews.com and faithwire.com for more news from a Christian perspective. Lord willing, and that creek don't rise on us. We'll be back here Monday. God bless. Have a fantastic weekend.